Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today. Hey guys, welcome to the podcast. It is episode 528. It's just me here doing the intro, your host, Kurt Geyer, if you want to be official about it. Everybody else, we're kind of in a rush. We're in real world time when this launches, we'll be hunting in Africa. But, you know, I guess a lot of people don't realize, or maybe you guys do, whenever we have a hunting trip or like the hunting's going to get good or we know a cold front's coming, we pre-record, try to do the intros ahead of time, cram in the content, get them out, because like I always say, we're hunters first, we're podcasters second, but which we enjoy both in their own right. So if a lot of these intros don't make sense, but I had to get on here and say this because in this podcast, of course, we're talking Big Time and we're talking Main Event, which is the new hot food plot blend from Big Time. Joe informed me this week that the quantities are getting low, like they're almost sold out of Main Event. So if you're hearing this and you want Main Event, I'd get on it fast. It could be out already. But this is your fair warning right at the beginning of the episode. Try and get on it, get some Main Event ordered. And then I know that'll be online. Let me read a text from Joe. It'll still be available at Rule King and Tractor Supply, but then you can't use the Working Class Bowhunter promo code, of course, at those stores. It doesn't apply there. It just applies at BigTime.com. If it is still available on BigTime.com, WCB2022 is your code to save some money. So if you can't get it online, try one of those farm stores. I know Farm and Fleet in our area might have it, but I don't know. So just a fair warning, guys. I apologize if it is out, but they have a ton of great blends. If you can't get in the Main Event, something else will work for you. So I'm going to cut through it on this one and hope you guys enjoy this this podcast. You know, it's always presented by Elite Archery. Love our elites. Big Time, of course, this episode. Huntworth, we're dressed up in Huntworth right now. What's kind of cool is everything, all of our partners apply to what we actually do. So it's like makes perfect sense. We're using our elites in Africa. Big Time, we're not carrying Big Time to Africa, but we're decked out in Huntworth. We're actually going to have our scent crusher bags over there. They told us that the winds have been swirling pretty bad, and that's the number one factor probably in the way we're hunting is going to be the wind. So we're going to be using scent crusher to our advantage. I imagine we're going to be sweating a lot and coming in and out to the blind. So we'll see. You know, I don't know how that's going to pan out, but Old Barn Taxidermy, of course, is going to be doing our taxidermy. Loophole Optics, I mean, everything Loophole is going to be out. Rangefinders, binos are going to be attached to us at all times for this. Trophy line. You know, I thought it'd be kind of cool to kill African game out of a saddle, but it's just not going to work over there like we thought. I'm sure someone will do it one of these days, but it'd be kind of neat, wouldn't it? And then Spy Point, man, I have I have three new SpyPoint Flex cameras out right now, and they are super easy to set up, and they're performing flawlessly. What's the cool thing about it, and I know it's complaints with other cameras in the past and SpyPoints in the past, is like when you have to do the updates, you got to go on, put it on the SD card, make sure you do it right, format it, all that crap. You put the SD card in, there's a format button right when you power the camera on. You scan the QR code, it adds it to your SpyPoint app, and then it'll be like, oh, update firmware. If it needs an update right away, you hit update firmware, wait 10, 15 minutes. It does it over the air. You don't got to do anything online. Does it automatically. Then there's a test photo button you hit, sends a photo to your phone. You're ready to rock, and you set it up. And it's got dual SIM cards in it, so it connects to the best signal in your area. It's the easiest cell cam I've ever set up. I've been running it for a few weeks at this point. It's great, honestly. Give it a try. I think for a lot of you guys that are SpyPoint haters, listen, I get it. SpyPoint's changing things, though. Their customer service is on par now. This camera is changing the way people think about SpyPoint, I'm telling you. I've used a lot of SpyPoint cameras in the past, but I'm also like fairly good with technology. I know how to do the updates, and I know when it needs something done. So I've never had issues. Most people overlook these little things that add up to a camera not working. The Flex is the shit. Try it out, I'm telling you. I wouldn't say it was the shit if it wasn't the shit. You wouldn't hear me talk about it. I'd skirt around it, or I'd be honest and be like, yeah, it needs some improvement. It's good, I promise. Had to just say that, you know. Camo Fire, man, deals all the time. If you're planning on a hunting trip, you can get on Camo Fire, find a good deal for something you need. Or if you know you have a hunting trip 2 years out and you're building points, you can check Camo Fire for daily deals and then slowly build up what you need, from sleeping pads to boots to whatever it is. That's the benefit to it. You can save yourself some coin. Novix tree stands. I don't know if the code's still active. It was good for 200 uses. I think I was getting some notifications that the code wasn't working. So that means it's been used up, and it's done, you know, and I think they're done with sales for the year too. So we gave the fair warning at Novix. Hopefully you guys grabbed an Echo or a Hilo. We're rocking both. The Hilo I keep on me, ready to go, ready to be deployed on a game plan at any time. Made here, Peoria, Illinois, an hour from the studio, not even. So check them out at Novix. Thermoseat, right now, you know, be getting your seat pad, tree stand seats, replacement seats, D wedges. I mean, if you're coyote hunting, if you're camping, they got it all. Code WCTS. Victory arrows. I'm rocking Rip TKOs, 100 grain broadheads for this hunt, and I'm rocking lighted Nox on my Victory setup. Everyone's rocking Victory arrows on this African hunt. So putting them to work, I hope. Grizzly box blinds. Cool thing about Grizzly, I just set my box blind up. I made my own. It's my first box blind ever. I made my own stand. I went with a 10-foot. So we did, it comes with like, you can order the T-post brackets, or not T-post, my bad, 4x4 brackets for the bottom of the blind. We put 10-foot 4x4s on each, and I got 12-foot 2x4s and just did X patterns, and then I got 2x6s for my stairs. Ran a big ag anchor down the center and some ag anchors on the corner with a heavy-duty like toe strap, and I got the blackout shades on mine, and it is money. Like, I cannot wait to hunt out of it. I'm so excited. I never thought I'd be into a box blind, but now that I finally have one, I'm like, okay, this is going to change things. Can bring the wife with me comfortably, hopefully film a little more hunts. It's going to open up a lot of opportunity. We're super stoked. And we got a podcast coming with Grizzly in studio, so we'll break down that a little more. But check them out if you're in the market, or you've been hem-hawing, getting a blind, but just haven't done it yet. I highly suggest checking out Grizzly for that. Slick Trick broadheads, we're rocking that in Africa. We'll be rocking some pullback and let go gear. Yeah, I kind of went through these quick, but I'm super thankful for all our partners, and we're super thankful for all of you for supporting us and our partners and being with us while we chase our dreams. So shout out to you guys. You guys are the real heroes of what we do, and hope you enjoy this. Hope you learn a little bit about food plots. Hopefully you can get some main event. Keep us up to date. Are you doing fall plots? What if you're not doing main event or buck brunch, what are you planting and why? And what else have you done to your food plot? I'm becoming more of a food plot nerd as I get older. It's kind of like the dad and his fresh cut grass, you know, but also way cooler. Thanks for being here. Hope you enjoy this episode, guys. Welcome
I'm Chase Ralston with Rubline Marketing.
This is Jeff Lindsay.
This is Michael Pitt.
Hey, everybody, it's John Dudley from Knock On TV.
Hey, guys, this is Jared Scheffler from Whitetail Adrenaline.
Hi, I'm Taylor Drury from Drury Outdoors.
Hey, this is Nick Mutt from Bone Collector.
Hey, this is Melissa Bachman.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter Podcast.
Working Class Bow Hunter Podcast.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
You're listening to the Working Class Bow Hunter. That's right. This is a podcast for Billy Joe Lunchbucket, the working man, just like me and you. My name's Travis T. Bone Turner from The Bone Collector. Thank you for tuning in.
Nobody pushes the envelope like Working Class Bow Hunter.
It's really, really not that good.
Working Class Bow Hunter Podcast. This is a podcast that had big plans and certain situations kind of fell apart on us. So it's me and Doug hosting. What's up, Doug?
How's it going?
I'm glad you're here.
I'm here.
The mustache looking good as it always does.
Thank you.
And on the phone are big-time homies that were really supposed to be here, or at least Joe was. Joe Humphries.
What up, guys?
And then our great food plot scientist, Daryl.
What's up, Daryl?
Cherry. What's up, buddy? How are you?
Good. How are y'all tonight?
Good. Well, last time we saw Daryl was in the Indianapolis show, man, so good to hear your sweet voice.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
He's like, yeah, okay. What's up, fellas? Joe, you were supposed to be here. What happened?
Dude, so like you said, we had all these big plans. I'm bringing over seed for you guys for the fall planting. We're going to have
hey, your phone's cutting out, buddy.
Is it really?
Oh, then it smoothed out. This is how this podcast is going.
This is just not meant to be.
So I'm not going to be able to walk around in my backyard is what you're telling me.
It sounds great right now.
Okay, I'm not going to move.
Walk in that one-foot circle.
Sit on the ground.
I may have to go grab another beer in a second. But anyway, so all these plans, I'm coming over to see you guys. I haven't been over forever. It's a 3.5-hour drive, as you know, Kurt, from turkey season.
Yes, thank you.
I literally got to the stoplight at 36, 5 minutes away from the plant, had this really bad clanking, grinding noise. Basically my wheel bearing exploded, up on the front right. So I limped it right back to the plant and, called you and said, yeah, I'm not going to make it tonight.
Bummer. Big bummer.
I was really wanting some new Windsor Depot wings too.
How good is the Depot wings, man? That's like such
yeah,
a,
let the people know.
The Depot really needs more credit, in our area, and they have a good reputation for the record, but yeah, that I'm sad you missed out on that. You send me a picture of a bunch of guys like underneath your truck, like your truck's sitting there. And I'm like, oh, this is not good.
Dude, we were scrambling. I was like, I still have time. We can still, maybe it's just a rock in there or something. No, it was bad.
It's all right. It's okay. That's what phones are for. We made it work. But we appreciate the effort. You're coming out. First of all, thank you guys. And I'm thinking big time as a company too, as a whole, is for partnering with the shoot. Mm-hmm. A lot of people got bags of seed and some, if they were lucky, they got a bag of Main Event, and some supplemental feed and some goodies. So appreciate that as always. I think everybody else appreciated it too. And the after party bar tab.
Yeah.
Thank you, Joe.
But there's a lot of things.
You're just thanking me that I wasn't there, Doug. I know. Bad things happen when me and Doug
Yeah,
together.
Well, it wouldn't have been as bad as last time.
On Doug's birthday. Yeah
I wouldn't have allowed it.
So, talking big time, you were going to deliver some big time seed for us and for the Iowa boys, and now Austin, because he has an Iowa farm, some supplemental.
You mean
feed.
Our Iowa boy?
He's not fully Iowa.
He's a half.
He's about a quarter.
Wait till he moves.
But what's new with big time, man? What's something that people should look out for?
Well, you hit it spot on with the Main Event. It is just blowing up. I mean, I don't think Daryl or I either could have expected how well it's going. That's of course our new blend that we came out with this year. I'll let Mr. D kind of dive into the the essentials of it and everything, but man, it's just, it's going nuts. It's been a, as always, been a great year. Now all of a sudden we're in July. We're talking about planning for the food plots and prepping and, you know, supplemental feeding's going strong right now, watching the deer grow. We just had a big rain shower here and the deer came out early. So I got to see a few of my 8-pointers cause that's all I have here right now.
That's all that lives in Indiana, actually.
Pretty much. It's weird. I have 1-9 because he has a double brow on one side. It's all 8s.
Better shoot and get those genetics out of there.
Yeah, bad genetics. I'll come out.
There you go.
So, main event. We've been talking about main event when we talk about Big Time on the podcast, but no better person to explain it than Daryl. What the hell is main event, Daryl? What's going on with all that?
That's our newest mix. We've been testing it for a few years now, and it's done really good all over the country. And we've been really excited for this one, and kind of held off during COVID a little bit to, you know, we really wanted to be able to hype it up a little bit more than, you know, than the downplay of COVID. And so we hit it this year with it running, and it's been great so far, like Joe said, and it's a mix of 7 different seeds and all brassica. You've got, just to kind of run down the grocery list of them, it's, you've got Winfred brassica, which is a hybrid. For those that don't know, it's a hybrid turnip kale seed. It's a proven winner. The deer love that. Very cold tolerant, has good regrowth. Which a lot of brassicas don't, but this one does. We've got the forage collard in there, which is really kind of coming on the scene more and more these days, and deer hitting those pretty hard. Got kale, like we've had in some of our other mixes. You've got radish. You've got two types of turnips. You got a forage turnip, and then you got your traditional purple top that's going to give you the tuber for late season, and then finishing it out with rape. So it's got some components that can be browsed early season, as early as the rut, you know, in October, all the way, you know, into the harshest of winter. So it really is kind of a good front to back deer season and fall to winter mix there.
Hey, Daryl, I had a question. When you say forage collar, is that what you said?
Forage collard, yeah.
It's collard. So when you say coming on the scene, it's like I picture this new hip-hop group that comes on the scene. Everyone's like, oh, shit, we didn't know these guys existed. They're pretty good. What does that mean when it comes to food plots? Like, you said coming on the scene. Like, where was it before?
Well, it's just kind of like one of those deals where it hasn't been around. You know, it was kind of bred between some crosses of other collards and so on. And it's not that it's new to the world and just created, but it's, you look for different seeds and you test them and see, you know, how the deer are going to browse them, you know, versus other seeds. How are they going to do for cold tolerance, heat tolerance, you know, drought, and all the things that go into what we're watching when we test all these seeds. And it's not, you know, it's just something that guys are, it's becoming more and more popular. I'm not going to sit here and say that we're the only people that have forage collards in their mixes or anything like that. But, from deer, in the deer world, it is something that's relatively newer in deer mixes and stuff that is becoming more and more popular. And it really is a premium type seed. The deer really love it.
Makes sense. Cool. It's cool how you guys get the blends to make them more optimal.
Yeah.
For your budget, for your dollar. Like you can get your use out of it for a full season. And I see the benefit of that, you know, killing a buck off of a big time plot last year, late October, browsing in the plot, does browsing in the plot. To come late season, seeing deer also eat in the same plot, you kind of feel like money well spent when you're doing it and effort well spent.
Big time.
Because nothing's worse than doing all the work and not really sure if you're doing it correctly and then having it all fall on its face. I've done that in the past, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners have too. So hats off to you guys for creating the blends that you have and making them very, hand tool friendly. Friendly, applicable.
Yes.
I added a couple B's in there.
Yeah, that's the word we wanted.
But you know what I'm saying, though? Like, it's when someone spends their money on seed with high hopes of this is my golden ticket to attracting deer to my piece in this one spot, concentrating the deer, it's kind of a lot of weight on your guys' shoulders as a reputation for a company.
Yeah.
Because I feel like
them to do it.
A lot of people can drop the ball and fuck up a lot of conditions, and then it'd be their fault, but then they blame the seed. Does that make sense?
All the time.
It's always the seed's fault.
Right.
All the time.
I would do the same, so.
Don't you judge.
Well, I'm going to blame the seed.
At the same time, we are, you know, you have to be patient with consumers in that, because at the end of the day, I think we said it on your last, on the last time we were together, you're asking everyday consumers to be a farmer that they may have never even planted a garden, quite frankly. So, you're asking them to go out there and prepare a seed bed the way it's supposed to be and everything else that goes into it and then have success. You know, it's a lot. So, I mean, you know, we do put a lot of time and effort in trying to, you know, make it as foolproof as we can so that the customer can have, you know, some type of success, regardless of whether they don't do it perfect or if they do. And, it, you know, food plots really is, I think you guys are messing with them enough now. You really do, barn that Mother Nature cooperates, you really do get out what you put in.
For sure. For sure. And I feel like in my evolution of my big time relationship. Now, do I do everything to a T that I'm, that Daryl and Joe probably would recommend that I do? No, I don't. Honestly, my lacking quality is that I'm really bad at soil tests.
Yeah.
And when I say really bad, it's just I don't do them like you guys say I should. And, I need to change that this year because I still have time, but I will tell you that I've, and Joe's seen my fleet of ever evolving line of food plot equipment. So it's becoming
a brand new seeder.
I got a brand new seeder. Shout out to Joe. Have you seen my YouTube seeding video? Daryl, did you watch that?
I did see that. It was worth the watch.
I was having a hard time. And then, so thank you, Joe. And, thank you, Daryl, for the support. But I'm stepping up my game slowly, you know, like it's becoming easier to get plots in the ground, and on a different volume and to be able to change the shape of them, do the bigger area, control entry and exit, stuff like that. So, but I do need to step up my soil test game.
Same.
Well, it's such an easy step and it's so easily overlooked, and it's one of the simplest things you can do to help yourself. But it's just, you know, one of those, I forgot to do it. No big deal. And
yeah. What is it about a soil test that everyone's just like, nah.
I can answer that question.
It's an extra step.
Well, here, I don't know if you guys, let me answer it from my point of view. My point of view is a little bit, and this is contradictory, and I know that, right? Okay, I know this. I
think I might agree with what you're about to say.
Here's the thing. I know that if I don't drink 20 beers when we do a podcast, I'm going to feel better tomorrow. You know what I do? I drink 20 beers when we do a, I don't really drink 20, but I drink a lot.
We don't have a problem.
Like, I know what's best for me.
Mm.
Do I always do what's best for me? No, because sometimes it's inconvenient.
Yeah.
Soil test, I think from my perspective, and I'm like, man, this plot's going to be great. And I have so much confidence. And I know that I just work this dirt, get it cultipacked and do everything right. Get the rain. It's going to be a great big time plot. I'm going to be really happy. And I'm going to kill a deer over it. What I'm scared of with time, I take the soil test kit and it's like, you need X amount of product to put on. I'm like, oh shit, more work. It's almost like in a little way, ignorance is bliss, where it's contradictory is you wasted
time
and money on your investment. So I understand it doesn't make sense, but do you see my little sliver of
kind of like that old mentality of what you don't know can't hurt you.
Exactly. 100%.
Like if you have soil that's crap, but if you don't do the soil test, you don't need to, you know, appreciate the fact that you need to put a lot more into it.
100%.
That's why our seeds don't work for you.
100%.
I think you represent in all that you just said, I think you represent the majority of folks out there doing food plots. Mm-hmm. And, you know, from where we sit, it's not that, you know, obviously, you know, not to contradict what we preach about soil testing and how important it is, because it really is the number one stepping stone to, you know, overall success. But that's not to say that you can't have success if you don't do it. That's not to say that you can't just add lime and fertilizer and be like, hey, this is what I got, this is what I'm putting on, let's go. But you know, we have to, you know, it's just our place that we have to throw it out there, what's right, so that, you know, then if a customer comes back, we can walk them through the steps and try to pinpoint, well, this might be why you didn't have success and so on. But no, I mean, there's a lot of, I mean, look, this is the working class podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody listen, they're working dudes. You don't have a lot of time. Not everybody has time to go out to the farm, pull samples. Let me go send them off. Let me wait for them. They got one shot to get it done. And, hey, do what you got to do and do it the best you can and rock on. Now, I mean, I will say this to the soil test, and it's important in today's times when fertilizer is insane. It could help you save money, but at the same time, I mean, you know, the same guy might be saying, "Well, I'm going to save money by cutting out fertilizer,"
mm-hmm.
and wish for the best. But so, you know, I'm glad you brought that up, because it is one of those things. Not to say that soil tests aren't important, but to say that you can still have success. And I think that a lot of pressure gets put on guys trying to plant food plots because of what they read. You know, there's so much information out there, you know, and to get on these random food plot forums on social media and various places. And, you know, and it's the guys on there that, you know, are talking jump because, oh, you didn't do it by the book and you're an idiot, you know. No, you're not. You're doing the best you can. And you're doing it how you want to do it. I mean, you know, I feel like you can't go to anywhere anymore and hardly learn without being judged or criticized or, you know.
Right.
And, you know, it's, do you have fun putting your food plots down, Kurt, and getting the best, you know, getting something growing and seeing deer in it?
Oh, of course.
Isn't that what matters?
Oh, yeah, 100%.
So I actually, and the opposite of Kurt for food plot. And like in my head, you know, we're in the Midwest, there's fields all around, beans, corn everywhere. Like in my head, I'm just like, oh, the soil's good. Like,
yeah, but they're putting down product that you don't know.
True,
about.
But like in my head, I'm like, good soil, good dirt.
We got the best soil in the world.
Good
enough. Ding.
But I feel, Doug, I feel like you and Eric are a little less into
I don't do as much food plots.
The difference is you guys live in a state that allows supplemental feed in the off season.
True.
Illinois, you can't. Indiana, you can, right, Joe?
Yeah, we can. In the off season.
But in Illinois, a big time food plot is all I have for a main, rather, you know, other than a crop field or a natural funnel or what, you know, shit like that. But attractant wise, mock scrape.
Yeah, you're using that not only as your, you know, food source, but your inventory tool and everything else that, you know, we can do the supplemental feeding. Like you're hoping that they come to the food plot. So yeah, it's more emphasis on you for sure.
Yeah. But you know what I've found, like in time, I'm enjoying, and maybe I think it's, I've kind of been conscious of me getting older a little bit, like getting into my 30s type, and maybe you guys can relate to this, I don't know, but I've never really understood, like, I never gave a shit about my grass, I still don't really, but I enjoy, like,
I'm with you there,
being on the equipment, like, I like that I spent the money on a nice lawnmower, I just bought a new food plot tractor, like, I'm enjoying mowing the trails, mowing the food plot, tilling, setup, you know, like more of like the miniature amateur farm management for what I'm allowed to do. Like I'm enjoying that process just as much as anything else because it's given me like, I think
it's a sense of pride, man.
It's a sense of pride, but I think it's like becoming a little more mature. Like it's my time to get away from my life and think about things, you know, like,
yeah, I guess I'd see that.
It's like a meditation in a way while I'm doing this work that I know is productive for my big time plot, for my season, for, you know what I mean? You guys got to know. You're with me on that, right?
Yeah. We do it every day, man. I know exactly what you're talking about. I mean, it just everything that gets so much more than killing the deer on it. It just making everything right and to your standards to, you know, to Daryl's point, doing it the way you want to do it. Get away from the Facebook forums and everybody telling you you're wrong. Just go do it and enjoy it.
Yeah, learn from your own mistakes if you know, I mean. Yeah. But honestly, you know, and I think part of what's enabled me not to do soil tests like I should is that I've been lucky that I've always had great results.
Yeah.
So I'm always like, I'm good, you know. But
you got that good black dirt over there.
That's right. And every big time plot I've ever planted has done very well for me. Now
that's got to be the seed. I mean, if it's doing bad, it's not the seed. But if it's doing great every single time, it's
a seed. It's a seed.
Yeah, that checks out. That checks out.
But if I lived in an area that I knew wasn't known for good soil, maybe I would have a different attitude on it because maybe the first time I ignored a soil test and I had a more of a negative result than I was expecting, then I would lean, well, hey, I got to make up for what my soil lacks in nutrient to make this food plot more optimal for what I want.
Yeah, the food plot population out there versus, you know, what Joe and I are dealing with across all the states, it's nuts what some of these guys are having to deal with. I mean, whether it be rocks or whether it be just sandy, no organic matter, can't hold nutrient, I mean, all kinds of stuff. And it's and those guys, if they want it, there's a lot of work that they have to put in just to try to build to it. And it's not always just as simple as going out and buying lime and fertilizer. I mean, it's literally, you know, years of planting strategic plants to build up organic matter and to do that. I mean, it's work for some guys, but I love seeing it that these guys stick to it because they, like you said, they enjoy it. It becomes a hobby/passion. And I always say that somebody gets into food plotting, there's a part that they'll enjoy just as much of going out and putting in their time and seeing that finished product. It becomes almost as enjoyable as hunting, and, you know, going out there and watching the deer come out and eat the fruits of your labor.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, you can see, like, you see some of these bigger name personalities on your favorite shows, and it's like you see what that obsession has turned into. Like, it's like full-blown farm, like it's full-blown giant farm tractors putting in giant beautiful plots. I mean, that's how that happens, right? It's like if the resources are there and you can afford it or have access to equipment, it eventually ends up there because you become so passionate about it, you find a way to make it happen. I mean, Austin Chandler right there, he's a farmer.
Yep.
But he's also a deer hunter. He doesn't need to take the time out of his farming to go put in the big, like, lush and detailed big time plots that he does, but he does it. You know?
He's doing it more now, too.
He's doing it even more now.
The new Iowa farm.
Yeah, more projects. And so that just shows the passion carries over because he could probably just be doing normal farm stuff.
Oh, yeah, and be fine.
And be fine.
The deer will probably go there, but.
But he's taking his time to do these other big time setups.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to that point, I know that Austin and Daryl talk a lot and just get really passionate into it. To that point of,
they get freaky.
They just really love doing it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think, too, you got somebody like Austin and, you know, several of the ones that you mentioned a while ago that are the bigger equipment stuff. You know, those are guys that are experienced. They've killed a lot of good deer. They've been around the block, and they've proven and learned over the years that, you know, these, you might live in cropland, you know, haven, but this food plot tucked over here strategically, or this done over here, it gives them that edge to consistently kill the best deer in the area every year.
Right.
Or have a chance to kill them versus, well, you know, I got beans and corn everywhere. Let me take my chances. And so I think that's why, you know, Austin and some of these others, they see the need and the reason, you know, or worth of doing these food plots, even in cropland.
Right.
Yeah,
for sure. A question that I just thought of, Daryl, that I don't want to forget it, because so sorry if like this is kind of an abrupt transition, but I know I'll forget if I don't talk about it as I thought about it. Buck brunch has always been that blend that's kind of like here at Working Class Bowhunter, that's normally like our flagship food plot blend.
We're big brunch people.
Yeah, we love the buck brunch. That's it's been great for us to plant. It's proven results. We've killed deer over it. I killed my buck over it last year. We love it, right? Why would someone, and maybe the answer is obvious, but why would someone want to plant the main event over buck brunch, or is it preference, or where does one better than the other, or why would someone choose one or the other?
I mean, all in all, the main event's going to put out more tonnage of food. Just given the differences in plants, it's going to put out more forage. And it's going to probably give you more of a full gamut of, you know, kind of how these plants come in and out of palatability. And that's part of our strategic process of building a blend, is to have it continue for as long as it can. So you're going to have that a little bit longer than you are. And some of that's just because of the blend, the different types of seeds that are in it versus the buck brunch. It's no secret that buck brunch has ryegrass in it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's got that in it because of the nature of the type of product. You know, there's a lot of people say, oh, it's got ryegrass, it must be garbage. Well, you know, to each their own on that. I mean, I could argue that.
What's the hate on ryegrass? Because I've seen that. I've seen advocates and people just be straight boners about ryegrass.
Well, I mean, you know.
You know my answer.
Yeah, I know. I'm asking Daryl, Joe.
What's Joe's answer?
We'll get to Joe's answer. By the way, good luck ever doing another podcast that calls somebody that comments on ryegrass a boner. Just side note.
Think about it.
Sorry, Daryl.
But to the question, I mean, I think the technical term is it going to be as nutritious or as palatable and so on as several of your cereal grains? No, I'm not going to lie to you about that. But that being said, it grows. You know, you've got a product here that's created for somebody that's going to be having minimal tools, might be minimal prep, that, you know, it might be questionable ground. So the number one goal is for that guy to have success in growing something.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, ryegrass will grow about anywhere. So it gives that guy in that, you know, whether he's prepping his ground with a tractor and planting it like he ought to, he's going to give him a stand there, but he's going to, you know, if he goes back in the woods and rakes out a hole in the woods and he's got minimal sunlight, and he's still going to have some success.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the day, you know, people talk about ryegrass, and it's the same with cereal grains. Plants have different sugar contents. They have different winter hardiness. You know, there's a lot of things into it more than just the plant. And so that being said, not every plant's created equal. And if your deer doesn't have – I mean, deer walk around the woods and eat dead leaves and sticks and whatever they can find. Are you telling me that if you don't have anything, that deer's not going to go eat that green ryegrass?
Right. It's a good point.
I mean, you've seen it for years, and they eat yours, don't they?
Yeah,
true.
So it's just it gets a bad rap from the guys that kind of that we were talking about earlier that are the elitists and all that. But and
the dickbags of the internet, bless their hearts.
Yeah,
it's the food plot of the peasants.
Yeah,
if I was ranking grains, it wouldn't be at the top of my list, but it works,
right?
And I don't think that, you know, I think it's our goal is to have our customers have success with Food Plus. So to sit there and just dog out plants and, you know, some plants are better than others, I think it's got its place. Now, I think, you know, we've got some cereal grains in our buck brunch and stuff like that. But that's why you have the mix of the clovers and the brassicas in there, too. It's just kind of a smorgasbord.
Right. Well, and I haven't talked about it much, but I've at least mentioned it. My wife and I just purchased our first 40-acre farm of our own, which is, you know, crazy to even wrap my head around still to this day. But I already have a spot. You know, my buddy Lee came out and helped me cut some trails and we set up some mock scrapes and stuff like that. And I wasn't really going to do much for food plots this fall because I wanted to hunt it naturally. And then I wanted to basically put the plots to benefit natural deer movement from there. And that's just, I don't know. I might end up doing something, but I talked to Joe. I'm like, hey, I might want another bag because I got an idea. But we were talking about this certain spot that's it's in a shaded area, but it gets some, it's hard to explain without giving my property 100% away. But it's a spot that it will be perfect for like a little half acre buck brunch spot in an area that deer are going to move through anyway, no matter what. And the first thing I thought is like, man, if it's shady here, the buck brunch is still going to do really well. Like there's still going to be something there for the deer. The soil's good. I know that. But that I think that's the attractiveness to buck brunch is the hardiness of the blend.
And a good thing about a blend like that too, is you can, you know, it's, I'm not going to say that it's meant to be, you know, you're 100%. I mean, you might only have one plot, so it, you know, but it's not, it's good for, it's meant to go off outside of the guys with minimal equipment and so on, to have a spot for the deer to cruise through in that transition area coming, you know, on their way to wherever they might be going. I mean, there's just so many ways that you can use that type of plot that some of these other ones just they don't work.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Is ryegrass good to mow? Like when you're doing a maintenance, is it good to mow the ryegrass, like the tops of it off?
I don't think you're getting a whole lot of benefit out of that. No.
Just curious. You know, that clover plot that I did the failed cedar video on, I was just talking to Austin about it. Cause I don't know how you guys feel. Talking to Joe and Daryl, have you ever done frost seeding?
No,
Doug. I did. It was a thawed out day, but it ended up frost and freezing over, but it was like mud. So I was joking around saying I was mud seeding. And I'll be honest, when I was doing it, I felt like I was wasting seed. Like it just didn't feel, productive. You know what I mean? Does that make sense a little bit? Like I was like, this isn't going to take. And then you go down there now and it's like you could lay in it.
That looks good, man.
It's I sent you some pictures and
yeah,
I went down there. I'm really like, good. Wow. And what I did was I mowed some grass was coming up in it and I mowed the top of it off. And I went down there the other day and I'm like, this is impressive. You could fall in it and the clover so thick, it would cushion your landing.
Dang.
Now, Kurt, is it like crowd surfing in your food plot?
It would be
clover surfing.
It would be like crowd surfing. It's that lush. Nice. Like it's lush.
Use that, Joe.
Yeah.
Kurt, let me back up. So your question about mowing the ryegrass or mowing grass is, was it now or were you talking about during the season?
Be like now. Like now. Like.
Oh yeah, there's definitely benefit to that now. Because you know, you're trying to, it's competition for your clover. So you don't necessarily, it's going to die out with the heat and all anyway.
I guess, Daryl, to clarify, my question didn't really apply too much to buck brunch because that's a fall planted blend anyway, usually. Right? I've always planted in the fall.
You would do more damage to whacking off your brassicas and everything else
right
in the fall. But yeah, I mean, yeah, really, I think what you're meaning
was, he said whacking off.
Mowing.
I love that Joe's mowing part of that time. So good.
Is definitely a it's critical this time of the year, whether you're mowing or whether you're using herbicides for weed prevention. It is key for sure.
And I noticed that too, like I'm always, because I'm still learning, right? Like, and I just got this new tractor. When I say new tractor, it's new to me. It's, I was like 11 when this thing was brand new, so new to me. I'm in love with it. So I pull the deck all the way up and I'm just mowing the tops of the grasses off, and I notice like when I go down a little later and check this thing out, it's like, it's crazy. Like the life it kind of brings into it.
Absolutely.
And that's, yeah. I think that has to do with like the evolving passion with me and like this small time, if you even want to call it farm management, like the small time farming for deer, like that's what's rewarding. Something so simple of just driving in circles to mow off the tops of everything and coming back down and being like, wow, that really helped it. Like, that looks great. Like, look at this clover. I'm sending pictures of Joe and Austin because he was there, and just sending Snapchats brag about how good my clover looks. Like, that's satisfying.
That's awesome. I was going to ask you that because when we were, the last podcast I was with you guys, you know, I asked you why you, at that point, you had no interest really in doing clover. And I was like, I asked you why.
Yeah.
And you try it and you're like, well, you know, you're talking about your spots and this and that. And time as far as getting to it for the maintenance and all that. And, you know, look where we are now, and you've got a lush clover plot.
Yeah, so, a year later, really, roughly, right?
Not even. So that speaks volume. Well, yeah, about a year. That speaks volume. You went out there and tried it, and now you've got success, and you know, you've proven to yourself, well, this wasn't that hard, you know, and now I've got a clover plot.
Well, it's honestly the working class blend is clover, because if you're out of town for work and you can't replant, if you plant the right blend, it's going to come back, and it's going to take some maintenance when you get back, but it's going to grow. It's pretty hardy. Like, you know, I did some work. I had to go out there and put some effort into doing that and fuck with a shitty cedar, and, you know, not a lot of effort, but still I could easily not have done it.
Yeah.
You know,
stayed home. And-
but I mean, I don't know if that's your guys' perspective, but from my experience, like, clover, whatever blend you get, is you put the little bit of effort it takes into it. If you can maintain it here and there, you don't got to kill yourself doing it. And then if you can't get to it in the spring, you're probably still gonna have a decent clover plot the following year.
Yeah, and you don't. And I think that shows, you know, you don't have to. And sometimes on in pictures or TV and various things like that, you see these, you know, beautiful manicured plots and all, and you know, just because you've got some weeds in your plot doesn't mean that it was a failure. And, you know, and some weeds, I mean, deer love, and there's a lot of protein in weeds. There's a lot of, you know, natural browse that deer like to browse on it that are, we call weeds that we would kill out, but you know, they're not all bad. It's just, you know, it is competition. You don't want it to take over your desirable plot, but I think too, you kind of showed this year the success and the benefits of frost seeding, where you hit it at the right time, and you did very minimal to no ground prep. So you saved that.
You want to know what the ground prep was, Daryl? Honestly, it was a buck brunch plot last year, and the deer ate it to the dirt, and then they did the work for me. I'm not kidding either. That's not a fucking let's jerk off big time with her on the podcast. That's on. You can see in the video, it's mud, it's dirt. Like,
but please go ahead.
I mean, hey, you didn't come here, and your truck broke down.
Should have been here.
The results might have been different. But honestly, it's on video. You can go watch the video on our YouTube. You can see that I'm not bullshitting, but that's a perk. I had buck brunch there before, and it was down to the dirt after EVPs. The season was done. Yeah, so it's kind of nice, actually.
Man, that was a good point you brought up, Kurt, like talking about frost seeding. Like, I think there's a lot of misconceptions out there, and Daryl and I, he's taught me a lot on this, where, you know, way back when, I always thought you had to have snow on the ground to frost seed.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the case at all. You know, I mean,
well, I called you, Joe, before I did that. You remember?
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, basically if you're getting that good
frost right on top of the ground at night and it's warmed up during the day, that's a really good condition because it's going to suck the seeds right down.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot more time that you can frost seed than what a lot of people think. Like it's not just, you know, mid late March. Like you can go a ways into it and without doing a whole lot of work to it.
Mm-hmm.
That's my favorite way to do clover.
Yeah. I mean, my mind has been changed on like my perspective, something that seems like, and I don't want to seem like negative when I say like, it seems like a waste, but that's kind of in the back of your head while you're doing it. Like it's so early. Birds could eat all this. Like I'm concerned about how it's going to turn. And I'll be honest, like I checked on it pretty quick. I'm like that didn't take. And then a few more weeks went by and I come back down. I'm like, holy shit, it took. Look at this. This is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And it's like the patience can equal success with food plots, you know, give it the time but you go down there and it's hard to believe. Like Chandler and I just had the conversation. It's like, it's kind of hard to believe that when you do that, you give it a little bit of time and you come back, how lush and like, You almost go back with confidence, like, yeah, I frost seeded this. Look how good it is. Yeah, because I know what I'm doing. Like, that's how I feel.
I know what I'm doing.
That's how I feel about it now. And that might be hard to explain until somebody tries it, but I'm glad I did it.
Well, that's the beauty of frost seeding. But, like, I mean, that's one thing that why clover is so successful at frost seeding. It's a hard enough seed that it'll sit there in the ground until the conditions get the soil temperatures and all the conditions get right for it to germ. It's just sitting there and it won't sit in the ground and rot or anything like that. And then when everything lines up, boom, here it comes. And you get to benefit from generally you're going to get some spring rain. So it gets it off to a good start and it's there early. So it's already done versus if you were going to try to plant a spring food plot after frost seeding and you go out there and prep the ground and all that. Well, now you're putting it in and trying to time it with rains and you're asking that plant to start then versus already being there waiting for the conditions to get right, if that makes sense.
Oh yeah, 100%. And you know, I never really thought about it that way until I did it. You know, it's I don't know, just one of those things. I'm glad I did it. The results were great, and I'm happy I did it because what I did, the game plan was I took that plot that gave me really great results. Really happy with it. It's not that I didn't want that to be I didn't want it not to be a plot because I'm going to hunt that spot a lot this fall, or I'm expecting to. But I was moving my more late-season blend to this bigger plot that I'm setting up, and I put borderline in. Austin came out with his drill. We put borderline in, and luckily we've had some great rain the last couple weeks, and it's already growing. It's already 6 inches tall or so.
Wow.
And I have a pretty cool, I meant to send you pictures the other day, Joe. I was mowing and doing other
six-incher
management stuff. Yeah. I was going to send you some 6-inch borderline. but I'm already really excited for it, 'cause I feel like we got in a little late. But I don't feel that we did now with the rain, honestly. I think if I would have done it 2 weeks earlier, it would have been stunted a little bit from no rain.
Man, I'll tell you, at the plant this year, like, we have not had the rain like you guys have. And Daryl's had to hear me cry and moan every day about how dry it is.
Just use your tears.
Wow.
Thanks, Doug.
The sun has been doing really good for us. I'm literally just trying to move on past it. The sun has been doing really good. The sorghums and everything in there are really struggling. We finally got a good rain day. But that's the nice thing about borderline that I've noticed, that, you know, it'll kind of stunt and everything, but it can pop just like corn, you know. I mean, it'll really bounce back really quick. So, I haven't given up hope on it.
Yeah, it's... And it's a cool concept because is it technically a food plot? Not really, right? It's an accessory to your food plot. But deer will eat it.
Attachment. I mean, Austin killed a deer eating it.
The goal isn't to have the deer eat it for sure. But the good thing is that at least once it gets to an edible stage, it's usually tall enough, you know, when the seed heads make on the sorghums and stuff like that, that you've got a good enough tall, hopefully tall enough stand by then. But it's not, it's not created to be a food source, ultimately, no.
Well, it's funny. It's like we talk about Austin's big buck that he took all the shit for, Leah's buck. He shot that eating on. It was eating borderline when he shot it, which is amazing. But the way I planted,
they'll definitely browse on that sun hemp and stuff. I mean, they'll tickle it. But it's not going to be like your actual food source.
Right, yeah. And it wasn't the main course there either. But that's what he was just nibbling on it. You know, I think it's kind of a cool coincidence. But I'm excited for the borderline we planted because I'm basically going to make a tunnel out of it for my e-bike to a box blind. So we planted it, and I'm going to go in and make my tunnel, if that makes sense, after it's grown up a little bit, to basically get the maximum coverage I can for my entry exit route to slip in and out on my magic carpet, which I call my e-bike, and get to where I want to hunt. Got my big time plot set up. And then we did a U shape around the perimeter where the food plot would be exposed to the open, on the side. That's not like timber edge, if that all maps out how I explain it. So I'm super excited to see how it all works out. And that's going to be like a pretty rewarding feeling because this next couple weeks, I'm going to go in. I've already sprayed it. The goal is to go in and till it, get it prepped. When we come back from Africa, I'm going to plant and then
that's my plan too.
We're on off to the races is the goals.
Can you take a bag of buck brunch to Africa with you and throw it out and see if it'll grow over there?
I don't think they let you transport like plants and shit.
They hate ryegrass, huh?
Yeah. Next thing you know, Africa's just covered in buck brunch.
Breaking news.
Invasive food
dumb
plot
podcast.
Joe Humphreys and idiots on popular North American podcast. I don't know what the hell they call us. Popular in one state.
Drunk podcasters.
Drunk podcasters bring whitetail blend. Kudu are huge all of a sudden.
Monsters. Breaking records.
They're curling so much more.
Hey, instead of 2.5 curls, I got 4.5 and 90-inch kudu everywhere you look.
It could happen. You never know. You never know.
Yeah,
don't be the next Brittany Griner in jail for bringing something illegal into a country. Don't be that.
I don't even know who that is. What'd she bring?
Something that was illegal, and now she's in jail in Russia.
Oh, shit.
Oh, yeah. Is that the WNBA chick?
Yeah, we don't need to get too far off on her, but, you know. But
she had some marijuana cigarettes in her pocket or something.
Did she get 10 years over there? Did I see that? Because I saw a meme today that said 2032 comeback king or comeback queen or something because she's going to be over there for a while.
Oh, my gosh. How horrifying would that be?
Oof, yeah.
That's scary, man. No thanks.
And you know they have good prisons in Russia.
That's like a nightmare. End up in jail in a foreign country.
But, hard pass.
But anyway, I'm not bringing buck brunch to South Africa. Even though I'm sure they would appreciate it and the herd would love it.
I'm going to bring some feed, though.
I don't think you can. They're not going to let you do that, though.
It's in my suitcase.
It's my carry-on.
I think about the only shot we've got for big time in Africa is if you take a bunch of big time decals over there and just stick them on every vehicle you walk past.
Yeah.
That'd be cool. That'd be cool.
We could do that. We could do some street marketing in South Africa.
Yeah, you're going to get a bunch of calls.
You guys want to hear a funny story about a decal?
Yes.
So 2 weeks ago, me and Daryl had to go. He's laughing already. We had to go down to Chattanooga for a vendor show.
Joe, take two steps to your left. You're skipping out again.
Damn it. All right. You know I like to walk around when I
talk. It's better. It actually got better.
That's funny.
I went back to my same spot.
Okay.
I'm standing still again, Mom.
Good boy.
So we drive all the way down to Chattanooga, Tennessee for this show, and we go to this restaurant on the river, and I went back out to my truck for something. I see a sticker on the back of my truck. What the hell is that? And it's the decal of a dill pickle with a doe's head and legs on it, and it says dildo on it.
Oh, that's hilarious.
I immediately get pissed. I'm like, some asshole thought it'd be funny to stick this on my truck, which you guys have seen my truck. It's a giant decal for big time in America. Yes. Like, I'm just furious. Turns out it was my brother, and he put it on there like 3 weeks prior.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Shout out to Andy Humphries. He's a dick.
So, but you thought it just like someone in the parking lot's like, yeah, this hunter's going to get this.
Somebody just randomly stuck a, a sticker on my truck. Turns out I've been driving around with it for 3 weeks.
All right, we can top your story.
Yeah.
All right.
So the other day, and I'm not sure like in podcast land what episode is going to air when, but we had the great people from Illinois Deer and Beer Fest in the studio. Yep. By the way, that's coming up into August. We're having a Working Class Bow Hunter after party. Cody Christian, Dustin Huff are playing.
Is going to Big Time will be there.
Big Time will be there. Novix Tree Stands will be there. All the good people you want. Come drink a beer. Have a good time. Illinois Deer and Beer Fest. August 26th and 27th, I believe the dates are.
I believe so.
Anyway, Cole, the owner of the show, does like liquidation type sales. He has like a business he does on the side. So he buys like
it's a whole thing.
Amazon crates, and he just gets random shit. Well, we're all in here talking, and he's like, hey, Kurt. He goes, dude, I have this big, giant black dildo that I got in a crate. He goes, I didn't know it was in. He just gets them random. He doesn't know what's in them. He goes, I'm going to go out back and suction cup it on the back of Doug's window. And I'm like talking quiet, like Doug can't hear me. And then I'm like, dude, that would be really funny. Go for it. So he does that, and Doug drives like an hour home with this thing on his back window. And realizes it's on there.
Thank God I realized
it. Was it just bouncing around?
Yeah, kind of. I just remember looking in the rearview mirror, like I saw something like weird, and I was like,
"Oh, you saw it while you were driving?"
Yeah, I was like, "What the hell's that?" And I looked at it more. I'm like,
"That's even better."
That's 1,000% a dildo.
Did you stop and get it?
No, I just left it until I got home,
hoping it blew off.
I think like one person took a picture or something. Maybe.
Do you think?
Yeah.
With our logo on your stick,
right next to it.
So
even better.
What I want to do is keep it that way. When guests stay at the studio, I'm going to tuck it into the bed sheets.
Well, you can't say it out loud.
Yeah, but no one listens to this.
Bleep it out. Beep.
No one listens to this podcast. Joe will know. Good now. Point. I should have saved it for him. But
I'm just glad I found it before I went onto a military base with a black dildo on back of my truck.
That's a good point. You got shot down.
Yeah.
Do you want another dildo story while we're on them?
Sure.
We're on a roll. Daryl, you got anything to add after this story?
Let's just keep on going.
Everybody's got a dildo story.
Move on after. So Jonathan, the main guy at Casco, he calls me one day. Super nice guy, like very quiet and everything. He goes, hey, I'm getting ready to send you a picture. I just wanted you to hear it from me before you saw it on social media. Okay. So a couple weeks ago, there was this picture floating around of this dude holding a catfish, and they found this giant dong in his gut. That was Jonathan from Casco. Like, the first time he'd ever been catfishing on the Ohio River, he wanted to go catch a big blue cat. Ends up catching a pretty good one. Like, I think it was pushing 30 pounds or so. And they couldn't figure out what this hard thing was in its stomach, and they found this big black dildo.
Why are they always black? What's the point?
I don't know. But in a digested Nerf ball in it. But he was,
and a
he was
Nerf
like
ball.
Where's this catfish hanging out?
Ohio.
Apparently, wherever you threw out your dildo at.
That's just a regular Ohio day.
Yeah. Doug didn't think about it. He chucked that dildo into the Mississippi.
Just chucked it.
Catfish. But yeah,
I mean, dude, that, like the Huffington Post. Got a hold of him.
The New York Times.
Yeah, he's just got weird. And he is just such a quiet guy. And I talked to his aunt who owns Casco, and she just thought it was hilarious. Like, yeah, we got to get him like a marketing agent or something now. And like, everybody's calling him.
Dude, that would kind of suck, man, to find that. And then all of a sudden people are wanting to talk to you because you found a sex toy and a catfish. It's like.
Yeah, well, I told him, I said, we need to take it and you can sign autograph. Like, we'll put a pin in that. The tip of it, and you can sign autographs at the booth. It'll be awesome.
It's a good idea.
You're a celebrity now.
Hey.
But I did ask. I was like, did you eat the catfish? I was like, yeah, I ate it. Why wouldn't I? I think I would have turned that one back. I don't think I could eat that.
Yeah, I don't know if it really matters at that point, but it's a great story. It's a great story.
And this is the point where Daryl's just shaking his head in shame, going, what am I doing on here?
Yeah, can I leave now?
I'm
just thinking about Jonathan. He doesn't like attention. And yeah. He gets all this attention from that.
Yeah.
That's of all things.
If Daryl wouldn't have already been on the podcast, Joe, I'd be like, all right, let's get back on track for Daryl. But he's been in the studio. He's had the WCB experience. Mm-hmm. He knows what he's getting into at this point.
Yeah, he's seasoned now.
Yeah, seasoned. You're back in.
I don't even know where we go from there.
Well, let me make a transition. Let me test this randomness, and I'm going off the top here. So we've talked food plot seed. We've talked a little bit about dildos, because why would we not?
Makes sense. Mm-hmm.
I feel like Clint Casper's on here.
Right, yelling at you, trying to motivate you. What was what is new for Big Time coming in? I know Main Event, right? We talked about that, but what's some of the – you guys are always like Feeding Deer is cool again, or Feeding Deer is cool for the first time, I guess, is probably the better way to put it. What's coming next? What can you leak? What can you give us a hint to? What can you tell the people?
It's way too early to leak anything right now.
It is way too early. I know. I just,
leak it.
I'm pushing the issue.
I'm gonna put it to you like this, and I know I say this every time, but Daryl Cherry is an absolute just a Jedi when it comes to these new products, development, everything. I am super, super excited about 2023. We're going to be back at ATA this year, back in our home state of Indiana.
Step 2 feet to your left, Joe.
Back in Indiana.
Are we good?
Yep, you're good.
Kentucky.
I'm excited for Indiana. Indianapolis show and ATA in Indiana.
Yeah.
There you go. The lineup that we have that we're going to launch at ATA, man, it's very exciting. And, you know, we talked before the podcast with you guys. I definitely don't want to talk about that yet.
No, but you can't.
What we have in store for next year, not just us, but with you guys for the WCB community, I'm so jacked about. I mean, it's going to be great. I mean, 23 is going to be amazing.
I agree.
All I'm giving you. That's it. I'm not giving you any more leaks than that.
That's good.
Let me leak something here. We're talking about feed.
Oh boy.
This isn't really a leak, but since we're talking about food, and it really hasn't gotten its fair shake because it was launched in COVID year, so as screwed up as that was and missed all the shows to really get it out there and so on. I don't think that really people have discovered very well our platinum feed.
Mm-hmm.
And just to kind of back up and touch on that, I mean, it's been out for – this is its second year. But, man, it is the stuff that we're still seeing that's coming from that is not just – obviously, we're here to talk about Big Time, but it's really been pretty remarkable – the way that the deer are taken to that, and the consumption rate. I mean, they eat our other blends great, but the consumption rate of this for the people that have been feeding our feed for who knows how long, and then they're trying the platinum out, they're calling us back being like, holy cow, like this is a step up in, you know, not only in the nutrients and everything that it's providing, but just the consumption that they're seeing is pretty astounding.
Consumption and growth.
Can we go into a little bit of detail on that, Daryl? Just platinum, kind of like the breakdown of it and like why it's good, why they like it so much, why it's beneficial. Is that all right?
Yeah.
So I'm going to do one thing. I got to step out and hit the John, and Doug is the platinum guy, but I'm coming right back. I just want to give everybody a heads up before I just dip out and be rude. But it's one of those things that's like, I want to use platinum so bad.
But you can't.
But I can't because of where I live.
No.
No, fuck Illinois. Just kind of say that. Is that allowed?
Yeah.
So I wanted to do that because I know most states, is that fair to say? Most states are supplemental feed states.
At least in the off season.
That's what I mean. Yeah, in the off season, assuming it's the off season. Yeah. Illinois is kind of the oddball out with that, I believe, except for certain counties and other states. But
yeah, Illinois sucks.
So anyway, I think it'd be great to break down for the guys that can use it in their off-season supplemental feed states. Uh-oh, what happened?
All right, we're here.
Joe's calling me.
He finally moved to
Joe, did we lose you?
Dude, all I heard was, I'm going to go to the John, and my phone just died. I don't know what happened.
Okay,
well, I just
lost all service.
Well, you're back, so this is a perfect time. I should have went to the John, huh?
You should have.
Okay, I guess what I was saying was most states are in the off-season supplemental feed states, so that's why I wanted to bring that up for people who might not be aware of, like,
yeah,
the benefits of the platinum, you know?
And we're going to talk about what is platinum.
What is platinum? Go ahead, Daryl.
So platinum is a, you know, obviously, you know, to kind of set the foreground for it with our other feeds, we've got our original fortified deer blend. Which is the whole grains with the corn and the milo and the black oil sunflower. And, of course, all of our feeds has our nitro mineral included in it. And then we go next to our plus protein, which is the same mix with a higher concentration of nitro and the addition of roasted soybeans. So we wanted to continue kind of in a good, better, best scenario, step it up to, you know, more of a premium where you start getting, we added peanuts, we added a protein pellet to that, and we also added, of course, it's got our nitro, but we also added some pre and probiotics to that too, and it, you know, it really hits the points of driving home gut health, which is, you know, more and more people are learning that, you know, it's critical not only in humans, but animals as well. And so just improving the rumen for the deer, you know, improves so many other things. And we've got some feed enhancers that, honestly are proven that, but they're really, like I said a while ago, are performing better than we could have imagined as far as increasing consumption, even for this particular feed.
That's good. You guys got a lot of good response from that then too?
We have, but yeah, you know, that's kind of my point a while ago that, you know, when it was launched, it was kind of that oddball year of 2020.
No, that's true.
And it just didn't get the push that normal products are going to get in a normal year. So it's been a little bit tough to get it unrolled to the public and getting the knowledge out there. And you know, and it is a higher priced premium product. So, but, you know, to that same point, it's something that, you know, we encourage folks to try it out. You know, if you want to save on a little bit of cost, we'll cut it with the fortified deer blend, just, you know, save some pennies there. And, you're still getting some of, you know, you're still getting the benefits of the platinum.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I wish I could use it, man. I think that changed the summer game for me. You know,
I feel bad for you.
Well, it's just a bummer, you know. I'm sure there's some other people out there who don't use supplemental feed or can't. There's a lot of people in states where they can't, like in Illinois, that still do it. I mean, they sell it. Illegal feed in Illinois in every store that has sporting goods. Like, you can buy it. How that shakes out, I don't know.
They're crossing over from Iowa to get it.
How big a deal is it really? You're not supposed to do it. But, you know, you look on, I know an outfitter that's not in our area, but like outside the area, every deer they have is licking its nose the middle of July in the middle of December next to a fallen log. You know, it's like, we all know what I'm talking about. I wish I could use it. I don't use it. How great would it be for a velvet pitchers? It'd be the best.
It is the best.
But I feel like, fuck you, Doug. I feel
just,
like.
Just turning that knife.
Yeah. But I feel like it makes me have a more real, and maybe this relates to it. It makes me have a more realistic expectation on what I could see during season or could not see when velvet is on or off come into that season. It's like I'm catching deer on more natural patterns leading into the velvet coming off. And so therefore I feel like I'm geared toward deer natural patterns more than you and Eric are, because you guys can put your supplemental big time feed anywhere.
True, true.
And deer are going to eat on it. Whereas where I'm at, I'm a little more honed in naturally on natural deer.
A counterpoint though, we're catching all the deer on camera.
Yeah, you know they're there, but you don't know how they're naturally moving when your feed comes out.
We'll get them.
Who normally kills one early? Me and Austin.
Yeah.
Illinois boys.
Well, we'll see.
And not always.
Eric's on something.
Eric's feeling spicy this year.
I have never met. I don't know what Eric's going through, but he's making bets left and right. Joe, be careful. He just might bet you something.
He's rebirthed.
He's got a gambling problem is what he's got.
It's a problem, guys. Like, you guys were here. Eric be making you bet about something.
Yeah, just some random stuff.
Huh. That's interesting.
I'll tell you something, too, about the platinum that, you know, we did a cost per pound breakdown when we first launched it, and of course, you know, some things have changed here and there. Everybody's feeds have had to go up just due to markets and stuff like that. But, you know, not only was it our premium feed with all the benefits that we've added to it, but when we compared it to what are considered the more popular premium feeds and stuff in attractants, whatever you want to call it, on the market, cost per pound, it was also cheaper. So I think that that's a benefit. When a guy goes in there and he sees that, when he does see that price of, you know, north of $20 and he's, you know, it's still, it is still cheaper than a bulk of a lot of the products out there that you see.
For sure. And right now, just
and read the GA. When you're looking, if you're going cost per pound and everything,
mm-hmm.
compare those guaranteed analysis of what we have in that bag compared to the competitors, because it
good point.
It is packed full of everything you want to see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, everything now is so crazy.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't know. I don't really to shock me on the cost of something. You know, the only thing that's really like. Piss me off besides gas prices. Everything's expensive right now. What I'm getting at is it's expected, right? Like things have to get more expensive. But lithium batteries, especially for the guys running lithiums over their big time, like I feel bad for you because lithium batteries are nuts. But, like a price spike right now, I don't feel like is crazy.
No, not really.
It's a bummer, right? But it has to happen, right? Because you guys are buying.
They got to make money.
Well, yeah, but it's the way it is. But either way, I went
to Pizza Hut today for lunch, and 12 traditional wings was $19.50.
Holy shit.
It's getting stupid.
You know how much Taco Bell you can get with that?
A lot less these days, but...
If New Windsor had a Taco Bell...
He'd be in trouble.
I'd be way fat.
I'm a massive fan of Taco Bell.
Cheesy gordita crunch, baby. Only way to go.
The chicken quesarito.
You know how often we'd be over there?
So good.
We'd have to do like a big time sponsored Taco Bell.
Yeah.
Like we'd have
to. Big time would have to help.
That's how we'd calculate our partnership for next year. You just give us a prepaid card with big time on it, and that's what we'd spend. We'd just use it all at Taco Bell.
We just stopped taking food plot seed.
Yeah.
Taco Bell.
Didn't plant any clover, but it's a good chalupa.
Yeah, chalupa's amazing.
I'm going to start showing up with a 40 box from Taco Bell every time I come over to the studio now.
I dare you, Joe. I dare you.
Mexican pizza is back too. By
oh shit!
I've never had one of those.
Even Daryl's getting in on Taco Bell,
dude.
I never had one of those.
You never had a Mexican pizza from the Bell?
Uh-uh.
It's been a long time. I treated Josh Sparks and Lee Herr and another buddy of ours. We all went down. They came into the cities. They're like, "Hey, let's show us some of the local spots," you know. So I took them down to like the local brewery and stuff. And on the way home, had a DD. I'm like, all right, boys, my treat, Taco Bell. And everyone's like, what? Nah, I'm not really hungry. And then everyone was thanking me when we got back.
I always do.
Good move. I'm like, I know.
My first rodeo. Hey,
just for everyone's knowledge, if you get Kurt a turkey, he will buy you lunch at Burger King. Because he's a high roller.
Hey, listen.
Damn, you balled out. Delicious.
By the way, we should tell that quick story, Joe, before we get out of here. We haven't done that on a podcast yet, have we?
No, not we haven't talked about it.
I haven't even told the story of my mountain lion either, so if that makes no one knows that story.
Oh, shit.
Just kill the mountain lion. We've never done a podcast about it.
Well, let's talk about your turkey. I mean, no one cares about turkeys at this point in the year, but let's talk about it.
This story is worth talking about.
That was an awesome moment.
Literally, this is how it goes.
Joe, I'm upset with you.
We're at the studio one night. Joe calls me up. Kurt, I think I got a bird that we could probably have a good time on tomorrow. Like, we could probably get on them and work them and see what we can do. Could you make it here in the morning? And I'm like, well,
What time is it?
It was pretty late. I mean, it was later the night before. I'm like, I think I'd be all right with that as long as I can be back, like, at the, what we would call the end of the workday. So when my wife gets home, like, because I think I had some other shit to do that week.
Turkeypalooza.
Yeah.
Oh, it was Turkeypalooza, but then I was supposed to go to Mark. No, I was supposed to go to Mark Drury's place for 4 days.
And
hunt with him and Rob Keck. So I'm like, dude, we're kind of pushing it, like, I don't like to push the limit too hard, you know, it's just because of in the fall, I'm gone all the time. Joe messages Sam and says, I'm stealing Kurt tomorrow. We're going to kill a bird and I'm going to send him home with a great turkey. What's it called, Joe?
My air fryer turkey nugget exclusive recipe.
But didn't you call it General Sal's at first? But it ended
up General's toes. Yes.
Toes. Sal's toes.
General Humphrey.
General Humphrey's recipe. And so I leave at 4 a.m. from Illinois, get there about 9-ish or something like that in Indiana with Joe. Joe's like, fuck, I got a meeting at this time, so if we can make this done. So we get in. And I'll let you tell the story, Joe.
I'm going to back you up just a fuzz because you are correct. But preseason, Doug, we tried our hearts out the year before, and we could not get him a bird.
Yeah.
And was it 3 days? We had 3 days. We couldn't get our dates right this year. I mean, we're busy. You were doing family stuff. I was doing family stuff on days we were available and everything.
And which Kurt is funny how it worked out when what happened. We would have been.
And Kurt had told me, he's like, I can come over for a day at some point. I'm like, okay, no pressure on me. I got one day to kill this dude.
It took us three to not get one.
This hunt was epic. And
I went out at lunch one day to pull a card just to see what had been moving through, and this bird was gobbling its head off.
He's on the phone with me checking test sites and feeders. And he's like, dude, there's a bird just hammering. And we knew exactly where he was at. Joe's nerves were torn up.
I mean, I was like, I got to get somebody in here tomorrow. Like, this bird is going to die. Like, for me to say this bird will die, like, I have to be 100% we're going to kill him right now. And I knew Doug was working, text Kurt. I think we had a few phone calls.
We did.
Finally, once I talked to your wife, then it was like, all right, I'm coming.
And it's not that my wife, like, if I wouldn't have been gone.
Yeah, she would have been fine with it. I mean, you can't kill big turkeys if you're not. Yeah.
Well, Sam doesn't give a fuck. But,
yeah, Sam, like, doesn't.
It would have been one more day of being at home, then I'm gone for 4 nights at Mark's place.
Yeah.
Well, she's not going to tell me not to go hunt with Rob Keck. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And turns out.
Yeah, you don't pass that up.
I actually ended up not going because I got sick. And I didn't want to get anybody else sick. Anyway, side story.
You didn't get sick because of me, did you?
I don't know, give a shit either way. I had a great time, no. So it was worth it.
So anyway.
Probably from the Burger King. So,
can't put a pass.
We got sick of Burger King.
It was a great Burger King.
So, you know, this isn't going to be one of those we're going to go out and sit up and listen to him gobble on the roost and everything. Like, he was there at 11 the day before. He's going to be there at 11 the next day.
Step to your left, Joe.
Damn it, dude. Is that better?
Yeah, it is, yes.
Okay. I'm glassing deer while I'm talking to you in my field right now. So I'm sorry. So I'm like, yeah, just be here by like 9, man. We're good. And we go out, we set up, and immediately we had two birds gobbling.
Mm-hmm.
And Doug, just to rub salt in the wound, it was where we set up the first night you showed up when we tried to do the evening hunt.
Mm-hmm.
We're right there.
Continue.
I'm like, dude, that bird's like 150 yards. Like, we're golden. And then the bird does what birds do and moved off. And we made another set, and we could hear him gobbling. Made a play. As Doug knows, the bird is right where his bird was, where he tried to reap him the year before. Like, we know where the bird is. And the field kind of stair steps down. So I was like, all right, we need to get out into this field so he can't see us along the ridge. Because I want to come up on him, and the first thing he sees is this fan when it pops up. And me and Kurt are going out. And Kurt has never reaped a turkey before in his life.
Never.
And you were a little nervous because we were out in the wide open.
Well, you just feel exposed. You know, I know how turkeys are.
You
it's
feel
like
feel weird.
One it feels wrong, yeah. It feels wrong.
One wrong glimpse and yeah. They're out of there.
Yeah, and with Doug's situation, he literally took three steps and the bird ran from the field.
So, we had the hill to our advantage on this end, though. Like,
yeah, it was a rolling yeah. hill, which is what you want for reaping.
My bird was just where one we saw was just the biggest pussy ever.
I think he killed the bird that ran from you last year.
He grew some nuts.
Some fat nuts.
So Waka got a little more bold.
A little fat.
So I'm holding the Reaper. Kurt's kind of, I'm like, just stay right on my ass, man, because we'll get up here and I'll work you through it. And we kind of popped up over the hill looking down to where this bird's gobbling at. And I just happened to look left, and there's a bird 80 yards from us in this little dip. Strutting his ass off, and I just dropped, and Kurt goes into what do I do mode. I'm like, he's on my left side, I'm like, get on my right. And I was like, just put your gun up, man.
We were literally shoulder to shoulder, touching shoulders.
it was nut to butt. Yeah, I mean, it was tight.
Yeah.
So I stood up again, and the bird is just MODOKing across this field at us. Immediately drop to the ground. You can't see the bird because there's a roll.
Here, this is where I come in. Let me just add this little tidbit in, then I'll let you continue. Joe goes, oh, fuck, he's running right at us. Like, he's coming fast. Like, we get ready. He's going to pop right over. And then
you're like, what do you mean?
I'm like, what? Oh, for real? Like, he's coming right now. He's coming in hot. Okay, so, yeah, we're shoulder to shoulder. Go ahead, Joe.
And you're going, oh, where's he at? I'm like, just keep your gun pointed where it's at. Literally, this bird comes over the hill.
Full speed.
Crest the hill at 40 yards. Yeah. I mean, MODOKing. And I think you responded to me with, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
And, like, he's on the beat as he pops up. And then he comes to a complete, not an about face, but just put the brakes on because he sees this strutting decoy with two grown men crouching behind it.
Just two boulders
behind it. Two bloated bushlight guys sitting behind this decoy.
What was it I said to you, Kurt?
You were like,
I said smoke his ass.
Yeah, you're like, smoke his ass whenever you want. And I'm like, the whole time I'm like, I don't know. You know, I've never killed. This is my first year with a turkey gun, right? So I got this fresh turkey gun. Actually, first turkey I ever killed with this turkey gun. So it's got a big time sticker on the stock now. Oh, so
deserved.
It's pimping. But yeah, something
you can
along
do that.
Those
you can
lines.
Kill a turkey with me, Doug.
That's right. You can use my gun.
Joe?
Use my gun.
Not now.
But anyway, sorry. Yeah. I'm like, oh shit, pretty much. Like, it was cool, man. It came right up in 40 yards still, but it was like right over the hill into us, you know?
But the most amazing part of the hunt was, I mean, that was so cool how it played out. I've never seen Kurt Geyer move that fast because he shoots, pumps the gun, and was literally running at this bird before the wad ever even hit the ground. I was like, I was just like standing there with the decoy like, oh, he's gone. Oh, cool.
He's going to make sure the bird wouldn't go nowhere.
Oh, dude, no more. Not since my Kansas debacle.
Right?
Dude, I'm telling you, I shoot a bird, I'm full sprinting at its ass.
Exactly.
And that's the first thing you said. You're like, dude, you got to the wad before it hit the ground.
it was wild. And
the flash.
It literally took us longer to walk out than it did to kill the bird.
Yeah, like,
it did. It just, everything happened exactly the way it needed to, and that doesn't happen very often.
Oh, it worked out good. So we literally get back, Take a couple we take a couple pictures there. Beautiful scenery, actually. It's like picture perfect. Go back. People are high-fiving me at big time. You know, I'm like, all right, hey, let's grab some lunch. Joe still got his meeting, right? So I'm like, hey, I'll treat you. Let's go. I'll buy you some Burger King. Because it's really all there is quick, right?
That was nice of you.
By the way, that Burger King there is on point.
It's really, should have just went to the bar. That bar's food is
It would have took
amazing.
Too long. He would have missed his meeting.
We didn't have time. Joe, I had to go to a meeting.
Skip your meeting. You're sick.
So Joe downplays that I took him to Burger King for our post turkey kill date, but I would have took him to a 32 Saloon or whatever the fuck it's called.
What's the pub?
36.
The Negotian Pub, the most glorious place in the world.
That food, not bad either.
I've never been to that one. I got to go there next time.
Careful. You get in trouble there.
The Big Time whole community kind of holds a special place in my heart now. There's like a lot of great memories made there.
Mine are all bad.
Well, that's all right.
It's haunted.
It's haunted.
Didn't kill a turkey.
It's not haunted.
You went there for you went there for 10 minutes. Ghost. Yeah, you went there for 10 minutes. I see a ghost from there for 3 days.
I kind of forgot about the ghost story. Great Burger King. Moral of the story, get the bird. You know, we do all the legal beagle stuff. Go get Burger King. Joe, all right, buddy. Have fun in your meeting. You're the man. Love you. Actually, Mark Drury called us, too, and was bullshitting with us. He's like, yeah. No shit. So that was kind of like a cool added bonus to it. And then I'm on the road. Get home before my wife gets home. Joe gives me this recipe. And you want to talk about a recipe. Joe, you're the man for this. We cooked it that night, devoured it. I still have 2 more breasts in the freezer that I'm saving for this recipe again. Then ironically, within a couple of weeks, Mark Drury's like, I still send him some pictures, you know? And he's like, hey, what was that recipe? And so I give him the deets, and he's like, God damn, you're the fucking man. I'm like, nope, I can't take credit for this.
Oh, damn.
This is the Joe Humphries recipe.
You gave Joe the credit.
And he's like, fuck Joe. He goes, this is your recipe. So I'm texting Joe, and, you know, Joe has talked to Mark, and I think you guys know each other, I'm assuming, just by the interaction, you know. And I'm like, so I'm sending Joe. I'm like, hey, Mark said, fuck you. And this recipe is mine. But it's your recipe, Joe. And it's incredible.
Dude, everybody needs to try that one. We need to post it to the group, man.
Have you done a Big Time blog about it?
No, I haven't.
We need to do like a WCB film, like cookout.
Oh, we should do that. Joe, we got to cook at the studio.
Yes.
Yeah, we can do that.
And we can do
bring air fryer. I'll
you wear a
over.
Chef hat.
Okay, and we can do a blog while we do it, too.
And
take some pictures.
Nothing else. A chef hat
yes,
and
please.
Nothing else.
And an apron. But anyway.
Are you coming to that one?
Me?
You better find more than that. You better be wearing more than that chef hat. Something.
Party pooper.
Party pooper.
I'll have the chef hat placed appropriately for you.
over Doug's back windshield.
Yeah, right. Yeah, over his back window ornament.
Hey, yo.
Yeah.
Anyway, moral of the story, great turkey hunt. We didn't really tell the full story. Great turkey recipe and great food plot seed, boys.
It was a good one. Wish I could have been there, guys.
Yeah, I know. We need to get both of you back in studio to hang out. A lot has changed here. It's kind of a new place.
Turkey hunting next year.
Mm-hmm.
It's going down.
Redemption Island.
Maybe Kirsch's come and we'll just double up.
I'll come with and hold your hand and then you'll kill
him. We'll ghost hunt too.
Bring my gun though. We'll bring my gun.
All right.
I got the Big Time shotgun now. Stickers on it.
All right. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. No, that's fine.
kill with my gun. Anyway, we appreciate you guys. Thanks for giving us the update on the main event, breaking down some stuff for us. We always appreciate you guys on the podcast. We appreciate your partnership. Our listeners appreciate the partnership and the discount code WCB2022. Of course, that'll be in the intro. You already heard it.
Get you something nice.
Get you some. Get on there. Support good people. Support a good company and support good product. That's what it's about now. None of that cheap shit.
Let me throw this in, guys.
Sorry.
Go ahead, Joe.
We love working with you guys. You know that. I tell you that all the time. But we cannot thank the WCB community enough. I mean, I promised this guy I'd do it. Shout out to Rob Agar. I've been on the phone with him. Daryl's been on the phone with him talking about his soil test and everything, but he's a huge listener. And he was like, yeah, that's where I heard from you guys. So
shout out to Rob.
All the calls that we have with the listeners and everything, we love it. That's what we're here for. Keep them coming. That we're here to help you. So thank you guys for listening. Thank you guys for buying our products.
And thank you guys for using the code, because
absolutely,
I got the report from Joe and the code is doing great. So I'm glad you guys are utilizing that and saving yourself some money and getting good product and supporting us, supporting our partners. It means more than you know to us. Forever grateful. I'm in here fist pumping literally as I'm talking and no one can even see me.
Hell yeah.
Just to let you know, we really, really appreciate it more than you will ever know. I promise. Daryl, what's up, bud?
Weird silence. Weird silence.
It's all good.
We waiting for me to say how much I appreciate everybody's support.
Well, yeah. We weren't really waiting, but yeah. It's your turn if you want to.
It would have been nice.
No, that's normal when you throw something whimsical in.
I was actually getting ready, you know, before Joe said it, that, you know, we definitely appreciate you guys' partnership, and it's one of the best, and we definitely appreciate the support that your listeners show us, and, you know, and we see, you know, via the code, we see when they do support us, and, you know, and I'm telling you, it's a trackable measure, and it shows up, and we look at it and we talk about it quite often. So it's definitely not empty thanks. It's thanks that are definitely due, because we see how much you guys and your listeners support us.
I love that there's a return to your guys' investment with us. And we say this a lot about companies that kind of take our partnership to the extra level, like Huntworth, we mentioned a lot, and Big Time. You guys have been so great to us, honestly, over the years, and the involvement that you've had with us being a part of certain things and the podcast and putting us in your catalog and future involvement that we're talking about. It's like that means so much to us, because we started as a crew that, you know, we're reckless. Honestly, we still are reckless. Like, not a lot has changed. We've always done what we're going to do. And if a company wants to support it and be a part of that, it's hard to really wrap our heads around, because the industry is in a big shift right now. And the authenticity that used to be from the big major TV networks is now shift to, it maybe hasn't shifted yet, but it's in transition.
I think everyone can see it.
Well, it's and for this is, we're harsh a little bit, you know, we're not the show for everybody, but the real ones that live life for real and work hard and cuss and have the reality is, you know, you guys are supporting real motherfuckers more than a lot of other people because of partnering with us, of doing what we would do anyway, whether you guys partnered with or not. So we're thankful that you are, and we're glad that you are, and we truly love Big Time and we love the partnership. So a true, true heartfelt thank you, guys. Big time.
I tell you something else, Kurt, you know, not many people get to see it because they don't get to meet you guys or, you know, they just are, you know, just the way the circumstances work out. But yeah, you guys might be reckless or take it to the edge and this and that. But, you know, when you get to be around, when somebody gets to be around you guys, you know, you guys are really not just genuine, but you have your good, genuine guys with a heart, you know. When we were out in Indy together, you know, we don't leave without asking about our families. You guys are, you know, hugging at the restaurant to part ways. I mean, it's just you guys are more than just guys trying to make a living and get sponsorships, and you're really are good guys too. I mean, I wish that more people, more of your listeners could experience what Joe and I know get to list experience and other people that are partnered with you, that it's more than the work for you guys. It's truly relationships and just good, genuine guys with big hearts that care about, you know, others.
I appreciate you saying
thank
man.
You
that is, you know, a lot more to it. That's a lot we probably fail to talk about too, but it's weird, you know, it'd be weird for us to bring that up, but I do appreciate you bringing that up. But it's true, man. We're huggers. We really are. We are huggers. I guess I never really thought about it that way, but we hug a lot. But it's a, you know, we like to feel close to people and appreciate them, and that's what it's about. You know, life's too short not to hug. What's up? So thanks for saying that, Daryl. That means a lot, man. Got me all sappy.
Very nice. Man.
Yeah.
Joe?
Yeah, real sappy. I think I need another beer.
Joe, you got anything nice to say?
I'm not crying. You're crying.
Yeah.
That's not a tear. It's my allergies, man.
Yeah. I splashed Busch Light on my eye when I took a hard drink.
Yeah, because I'm a hard ass.
I'm a hard ass.
That was bourbon.
Get some Wham burgers and french fries. Right. Well, we appreciate you guys. Get on Big Time. Look for Main Event, Buck Brunch, Clover, whatever you're wanting to do. Borderline, plan that for next year. I'm a little late this year. But
not too late to feed your deer, though. Get some feed.
Get some feed. If
Platinum.
Nice plug, Dougie. Thank you.
Food plot season's coming up quick.
I'm going to charge extra now, Joe. Thank you.
Coming up real quick. Problem. Be thinking about them and thinking about them quick. So, all right, boys. If you're good there, we're good. I'm going to close her out.
We good.
Thanks, you know,
appreciate you guys.
You know what to do. Go shoot your bow. We love you. Later.
Thursdays with Saltwater Experience, brought to you by Golden Boat Lifts, every Thursday night from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.